This.
With a shout of joy, bread is broken, the wine is born. Christ is spoken and seen and heard. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again, as the word around goes about. Christ is able to make us one. At the table he sets the tone, teaching people to live, to bless, love in word and in deed express. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again, as the word around goes abound. Jesus calls us sins and us out, bearing fruit in a world of doubt. Gives us love to tell, bread to share, God Emmanuel everywhere. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again, as the word around goes about. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again, as the word around goes about. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again, as the word around goes about.
Pleasure to be here, and I thank you for inviting me. And I hope that when this is over with, we will examine ourselves and see ourselves in a whole light. You know, I look at the Word of God as my mirror. I don't measure myself by people or by situations and things. This is my mirror. This is what shows me when I'm falling short. This is what shows me when I'm pleasing to God. So as we look in this mirror today, I hope that we see ourselves. You know, if we're falling short, don't feel condemned. Just come up a little bit. And you know what? And if we are hitting the mark, let's be thankful. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this time of sharing. We thank you for your word. You said, Lord, that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. Amen. Let's go to the book of Luke. Luke, the 10th chapter. And I love this. I want to give you a little background. Usually, I see myself as a teacher, so I usually give a little background before I go into the message. So as you find Luke 29, this is a lawyer that stood up to challenge Jesus. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And that's something that we all, you know, should be seeking, is eternal life. What should I do? Am I hitting the mark or am I missing the mark? But he wasn't asking in sincerity. When we ask God something, we need to ask in sincerity. So 29 says, Jesus gave him an answer, said, what do the words say? He said, love God, you know, and, you know, do all of these things. And then Jesus, and he ended it with, and love thy neighbor. Let's go up to 27. And he answering said, Jesus asked him what the Bible said. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. That's the way 27 ended. 28 say, and he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. So Jesus told him, you answered right. You know, do this, and you shall live. But then he wanted to be smart. You know, he wanted to show out. He said, in 29, but he said, willing to justify himself. said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And who is my neighbor? Which seemed like a sincere question. And Jesus, with a parable, allowed him to take a closer look and understand what a neighbor was. So after we read what a neighbor is, then I'm going to go back and I'm going to talk about it a little bit. Okay? So 30 said, "And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. 32. And likewise a Levite, when he was come at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinketh thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves?" Which one do you think was the neighbor? It was the one that had the compassion on him and bound up his wound and put in the oil and the wine and took care of him and took him to the inn and made sure that he was okay. But not only that, on departing, he took out more money. He took out of his substance. And he told the innkeeper, "When I come back, whatever you spend, I'm going to give it to you in return." So Jesus said, which one was the neighbor? But look at what he said. "Go and do likewise." So what was the problem? We all want to receive eternal life. We all want to live in the kingdom of God. But are we really prepared? Are we really prepared? Because sometimes I think we forget that the kingdom of God is made up of a whole lot of different people, from different nationalities and different status, and you know, the ones that have been, you know, drunk and on drugs, and the ones that have been bound in their mind by mental illness. So you know what? Jesus is saying, in order to come and live with me in heaven, you got to get it together. You got to look inside yourself. You got to make sure that you're okay. Because we forget that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. So you know what? While we're down here on earth and we got this word, we should be preparing. Jesus said, "I came to seek and save those that was lost." And sometimes we forget about them. We forget about the ones that have fallen to drugs. We forget about those that have been fallen to mishaps. We forget about those people, you know, that's been hurt and so bruised that they've lost hope and they can't get up and walk again. We forget about them. But each and every time we stop to meet a need, we become a neighbor. And that's what we have to remember. Jesus is teaching us how to become a neighbor. It's not because we go out and we look at the person next door and say, "Hey, how you doing?" That's easy. But what about the person on the street that are bound by drugs? that are bound by sickness, that are bound by disappointment. What about those? You know, a lot of times, you know, we look at them and we go, oh, they're so helpless. They're in prison. But the prison starts right here in our minds when we begin to limit ourselves. When we begin to limit ourselves and separate ourselves and put ourselves in a box, we are just as bound as the people that we see on drugs and other things. We're just as bound. You know, you go up and you talk to somebody like that, you would be amazed at where they came from. But one thing I've noticed is that life happens to everybody. Just like death. You never know where you're going to be tomorrow. I look at the people in Ukraine. There was different social status. There was rich. There was poor. There was needy. There was sick. But when war happened, it affected everybody in the country. And that's the way we have to look at people as a whole and in general where we live at. You know, you may be in poverty. You may be here, you may be there, but let me tell you something. When disaster strikes, we all need help. And we all need to be a good neighbor. If I accidentally go to the doctor and they give me something and have me strung out on drugs, I need a neighbor. I don't need nobody to walk by me and turn up their nose and keep on going on the other side. Because see, Jesus was dealing with the ranked people, the high people. He was dealing with the Levites and the priests that knew the word of God, that knew they should have been compassionate, that knew they should have reached out and helped this wounded man that fell among thieves. But for whatever reason, and it doesn't state it, they chose to pass by him and leave him. And you know what I get out of this message? That they passed by Jesus. That they seen Jesus wounded. They seen him beat up. They seen him in need. And they never stopped once to be a neighbor. So as we look at people on the street, and as we pass them by and shake our head, we need to think twice. Is this Jesus? Is this my neighbor? Am I too busy with life to take time out to see if I can make a difference? Because if we want to change in our city, if we want to change in our lives, it starts with changing other lives. And one thing I noticed about Jesus, and I'm supposed to be representing him, he was a life changer. When he ran into a situation, he didn't run, he didn't hide, he didn't pass by on the other side. He faced it straight forth, and he made a difference. And when he made a difference, he caused a change, and there was always a chain reaction. We want to see miracles. Miracles are for miracle situations. And when you pick somebody up out of the pit, that's a miracle. When they come back and say, I know you don't remember me, but I used to be on drugs. And now I'm a youth pastor at a church. You see, that's a miracle. That's priceless. You cannot put a price tag on something like that. Hallelujah. Or somebody get out of jail. And they said, you know what? You was the first person that I wanted to see. I remember you fed me. I remember you talked to me. I remember you spent time for me. Even when I was stinky, you didn't turn up your nose, but you sat and you listened. And now my life have changed. I want to be a better person. That's what changed lives. It's not so much as money, We just want to give people money, 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 money. Your money may not change your life, but your time and your love and your compassion will. Hallelujah. And I'm going to close this up because I chose to try to stay within my 15 minutes. So I want to be obedient. I want to stay within my 15 minutes. But I want to let you know it's okay to go on a different side of town. It's okay to talk to somebody that may not look like you. It's okay to talk to a stinky person. Because if you talk to them, guess what? They will trust you enough to tell them that they stinky. Don't you know you have to build a relationship with a person to tell them they're all messed up and what they're doing is not right? That's how you get them out of jail. That's how you stop them from going to jail. You can't go up and go, you know what? By the way, you stink. And what you're doing is not right. But if you feed them and you sit down and you nurture them, you'll be able to tell them, you know what? You may like what you're doing, but it's not going to get you anywhere. You probably need to try something different. And they will be open to listen. And possibly change. Amen. Amen. Let's go over to Matthew. And I'm going to close with Matthew 25 and 45. Because this is when Jesus then came back. And you know, he was talking to some of the people that was like, oh, I didn't made it. I didn't made it. But you see, let me tell you something that the Bible says. The Bible says that man looks at the outer appearance, but God looks at the heart. Amen. Amen. Matthew 25 and 45. And this is when Jesus came back and he was talking to those that was before him. And he had kind of, you know, told some of them, you know what? You didn't take care of me in so many words. You know, and this is what he said. Then shall he answer them, because they were saying, Lord, when did we see you? I didn't see you naked and hungry and this and that. 45 said, then shall he answer them saying, verily I say unto you, in as much as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. Wouldn't it be sad to stand before Jesus? And he said, you seen me. And I was naked. And I was hungry. And I was in prison in my mind. And you did not stop to be a good neighbor and take care of me. I gave you an example. You see, because I believe that when Jesus gave that story of that Samaritan, he was giving us an example of himself. How when he sees us broken and just beat down, that he takes us and he pours in oil and wine and he nurtures us and take care of us. And then he puts us in somebody's hands and say, you take care of this person for me. And when I come back, because I'm coming back, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. And that's why we can't be so caught up about us. It is not about you. And we forget about that. It's not about you. It's about everybody else that's around you. And when we start caring about this person and that person, this person, and when we begin to love them and have compassion, and we begin to share that love and that compassion, that's when our city change, our children change, and everybody else around us change. Because I believe that as we love and have compassion and take care of others and their needs, that God is going to love and have compassion and take care of our needs. And I just want to leave that with you today. Show compassion. Be a good neighbor. Be a good neighbor. Can I have a few more minutes? I hope I'm not at the 15. I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you a story. This story can be verified. I want to tell you a story about somebody that was a good neighbor to me when I came to Jacksonville. And had I not had this experience, I probably would not love Jacksonville as much as I do. But I remember when I came to Jacksonville, I was living somewhere and I wanted to have my own place. And I went to this person that they was kind of different, you all. You'll understand in a few minutes. And I told them I was looking for a place. And they was happy and excited for me, and they gave me the keys with no money down. I'm like, this is kind of strange. I came from Chicago. People just don't give you keys with no money down. Then I remember working for a while, and the people wasn't kind, and I quit my job. Didn't know no better, just sick and tired of it. I just believed that God had more for me. And I talked to this person, and I told them I wasn't working and I wasn't able to pay them rent. They were like, okay, I know you. When you get the money, you're going to pay me. That person was an example of a very good neighbor. Never once came to my door and asked me for it. When something broke, they fixed it. That was a good neighbor. That's the way you be a neighbor to somebody in need. See, the neighbor is the person that helps you out when you're in need. Not the person that you hang with and you kick it together, but it's that person that looks down on you and see value in you and say, I believe in you, I trust in you, and I know you're gonna do good. That person was Nancy Scott. That person was Nancy Scott. Yes, I'm putting you on the spot. She was a good neighbor. Never once did she knock at my door and say, hey, Polly, you didn't give me nothing at all. Couldn't you have given me $20? She was a good neighbor in a time of need. And she has continued to be a good neighbor. We were separated for years, and God put us back together because he know we just don't know any better. And she faithfully comes and helps out at the soup kitchen, showing herself to be a good neighbor. She was one of my examples, and there's many, many, many more. See, a neighbor is somebody that steps in when the world then came tumbling in on you. That's when your heart is revealed and what is in your heart is revealed. So just be blessed. And you never know who's in your midst. She never knew I was called to be a pastor. She didn't know I was a woman of God. She was just being her good old self. I call her Miss Happy. Just being her good old self. So that's how Jesus said, when you didn't do it for the least. See, I was the least. She didn't know me from nobody. But she did it for the least of them. She did it to Jesus. Amen. Amen. I just wanted to close with that. Thank you so much for allowing me to come in and share. I really appreciate it. God bless.
If you found this podcast inspirational and would like to support the First Love Ministry programs at First Presbyterian Church, please send any contributions to First Presbyterian Church, at 870 West College, Jacksonville, Illinois. Our zip code is 62650. Our phone is 217-245-4189. You can contact our secretary there between the hours of 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday. Our email is office@firstpresjax.org. That's office@firstpresjax.org. Masks are now optional anywhere in the church. Our in-person church services start at 10 a.m. on Sunday. Access to our online church service starts at 9:55 a.m. You can listen to these live services on our Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/FIRSTPRESJAX. You can join our Facebook group called First Presbyterians with a Purpose. We have a choir that meets from 7 to 8 p.m. every Thursday night, and we welcome all who are willing to sing. We look forward to hearing from you, either by email, mail, or phone. God bless, and may you have a peaceful and safe year.